This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending 26th of March 2021. Hello, and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle dated the 25th of October 2021, which this week has been edited by Sue Frayne, Anne Brew and Jane Thomas. Your reader today is Tony Bergstrom.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. The main headlines this week are Push for Slower City Speed Limits, Huge Grass Cross Unveiled in Cathedral, Petition to Reverse Road Closure Lodged. So we start with the story behind the first headline. Push for slower city speed limits. Could the majority of roads in the city be restricted to 20 miles per hour? James Bartho of Winchester and District Speed Watch is campaigning for just that, and the city councillors are backing him. During a town forum, Mr. Bartho shared his vision of slower roads, more space for walking and cycling, and a safer travelling environment. He said, "My vision for Winchester is a bold one and prioritises safe travel. I'm calling on you to consider a default 20-mile-per-hour speed limit within the town boundaries, with the exception of roads designated as radial or connecting routes, which should be limited at 30 miles per hour, along with plans to reallocate road space for cycling. This will provide a clear state of intent for all who want safer travel." Mr. Bartho referred to a study by Highways England which shows that roads limited to 20 miles per hour have less serious injuries and more active travel. He added, "Councils and counties are feeling the benefits of reducing speed limits not only through less deaths but through public health, less noise pollution and more healthy travelling." Councillor Martin Todd, Cabinet Member responsible for Highways, said that he supported the campaign. He believes the 20-mile-per-hour speed limit would supplement the council's idea for walking and cycling zones in the city centre. "Some areas have this speed limit in the city, but it's less effective when people drive in and out of 20 and 30s. If we make it clear we are changing the norm, it would be very helpful," he said. Hampshire County Council, responsible for the roads in the district, has been considering similar speed limits in recent documents. The Winchester Walking Strategy, which was approved by the Town Forum but is yet to be implemented, has also plans to limit roads to 20 miles per hour. Councillor Fiona Mather aired her concerns on this matter. She said, "I've never had anything against this. I've even advocated for them. My question is about the widespread support for them. I remember sitting down after consulting on speed limit changes in the past and saw a map of responses for yes and no. It was very marginal on whether we had the mandate. And when the measures were put in, we got a lot of feedback from people who didn't like them at all." Councillors Liz Hutchison, Anne Weir, Dominic Hiscock and Kathleen Becker all said they supported the campaign. The report by Hampshire County Council in 2018 revealed that signed only 20 mile per hour speed limits improved road safety.
And now a huge grass cross unveiled in Cathedral. An enormous grass cross filled with flowers has been created in the nave of Winchester Cathedral to mark the National Day of Reflection. The installation has been adorned with daffodils and spring flowers and surrounded by candles and has been set up to remember those who've died during the coronavirus pandemic. A day of reflection on Tuesday marked the one-year anniversary since the UK went into the first lockdown due to COVID-19. It was led by end-of-life charity Marie Curie, which hopes to bring the whole of the UK together to reflect on the collective loss, support those who've been bereaved, and hope for a brighter future. The cathedral observed a minute's silence at 12 noon, and local residents were invited to light a candle and pray throughout the day. And TV presenter Alan Titchmarsh also carried out a special reading. Speaking before the day, the Dean of Winchester, the Very Reverend Catherine Ogle, said, "Winchester Cathedral will be supporting the National Day of Reflection to remember those who've died during the pandemic and to show support for everyone who's been bereaved. This annual day allows us to come together to reflect and commemorate the lives of everyone that has died during this time from COVID and other causes, to pray for them and to stand in solidarity." It came on the day new figures from the Office for National Statistics showed a total of 149,117 people have had COVID-19 recorded on their death certificate since the pandemic began.
Petition to reverse road closure lodged. A campaign petition to reopen Hyde Street in Winchester has been handed to the County Council. Local residents are battling to reverse the closure of Hyde Street, introduced last year to make it easier to socially distance on North Walls. They say closing Hyde Street to through traffic has increased traffic, pollution and congestion on other roads, including Worthy Lane and City Road. Nick and Caroline Dennis of Worthy Lane handed the petition with 1,632 names to the Highways Authority, Hampshire County Council, at its offices on Sussex Street. The public consultation over an 18-month temporary closure ended on Sunday. The petition on 38degrees.org UK website is still open and currently has 1,647 names in support. Most people living on Hyde Street itself strongly support the closure. Petition organiser Steve Harborne says that most of the supporters are from Winchester or nearby villages. In a letter with the petition to the City County Council, Mr Harborne said, "Although the campaign to reverse the decision to close Hyde Street was initiated by a group of residents of Worthy Lane, it is now abundantly clear that support to reverse the closure is drawn significantly from other residents, businesses and road users in Winchester and the surrounding villages. We are encouraged by the willingness of councillors and officers in a recent Zoom meeting to acknowledge the validity of our concerns, but are saddened that the issue has unfortunately led to it being viewed by some as prioritising the interests of one group versus another, neighbour against a neighbour, all within the Hyde Conservation Area. Last year, the county and city councils introduced a temporary closure to through traffic to allow for the narrowing of the two-lane north walls for better social distancing and to encourage walking and cycling. But opponents say the price being paid is too high, with clear evidence that the closure is increasing traffic on nearby roads such as Worthy Lane, Andover Road and City Road, leading to more congestion and pollution. They are considering legal action over the introduction of the measure last year, made with no public consultation. An earlier petition on 38degrees.co.uk by Extinction Rebellion, backing measures to limit vehicle use in the city centre, now has 813 names towards a target of 1,000. The petition says, "As lockdown is eased, we must ensure the safety of pedestrians and cyclists is top priority in Winchester's recovery from COVID-19. Last year, the county and city councils introduced a temporary closure to through traffic to allow for the narrowing of the two-lane north walls for better social distancing and to encourage walking and cycling," Sorry, I think that appeared earlier on. They've repeated the paragraph. Sorry about that. The issue is the most controversial road closure in the city since the shutting of College Street and Kingsgate Arch in the early 1990s. The City Council, consulting over an 18-month closure, is also asking opinions on other proposals. The narrowing of North Walls to a single lane, the widening of the footpath on that street, and a two-way cycle lane, a wider pavement on Jury Street on the Discovery Centre side, a contraflow cycling lane on the Upper High Street, and a puffin crossing on Romsey Road at the junction with Clifton Terrace. That concludes the headline stories, and we continue with the death announcements. Elliot, Gladys May Elliot, on the 3rd of March, aged 90. Gooch, Helen Gooch, on the 24th of February, aged 76. Long, Patricia Kathleen, known as Pat Long, at home on the 13th of March, aged 84. Penny, Evelyn Dorothy Penny, on the 14th of March at Abbots Barton Nursing Home, aged 92. Seymour, Margaret Seymour, on the 11th of March, aged 88. Swan, Jacqueline Elizabeth, known as Jackie Swan, at home on the 10th of March, aged 83. Warland, Hazel Valerie Warland, on the 13th of March, aged 79. And now we have Christian comment.
Christian comment this week: the things which make for peace, and it's from the Reverend Philip Crinks. This weekend we begin the holiest week in the Christian year. On Palm Sunday, Jesus sets out towards Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. He is hailed as God's promised king. His road is softened with foliage. The crowd offer him glory, Lord, and honour. Yet St. Luke says something surprising about Jesus' reaction. It was not joy, it was sorrow. When Jesus saw the city, he wept over it. If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Even this holy city had not recognized what made peace. There was still time, but only a little. Soon, as Jesus knew, the crowds would turn on him. Hosanna, Lord, save us, would turn to crucify him. What about our city? What things make for peace in Winchester and our villages? Perhaps we've not recognized them. Perhaps they are hidden from our eyes. It is the just and truthful reconciliation of conflict which makes for peace. As peacemakers, our first task is to acknowledge and resolve our own internal conflict, our fears, our guilt, our shame. God wants us to be free, forgiven, walking in truth and light. Jesus taught how to do this, and if we want to know how much God desires that, it is shown in Jesus' suffering and dying for us. Our second task is to reconcile our conflicts with others. This requires the same truthful forgiveness as we've received from God. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In doing this, we witness to the way of reconciliation and begin to model it for others. We completely misunderstand this work if we think it's about becoming powerless. Rather, it is about understanding the difference between true power and a false semblance of power. True power overcomes cycles of unreconciled conflict. It is committed to a loving and wise truthfulness. It patiently resists the injustice which oppresses the human spirit. It has the courage to forgive. It is the product of a thankful and humble heart. True power is not that of the huge crowd screaming, "Crucify him." It is not the power of Pilate, who excuses himself into the crowd. Instead, it says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This Holy Week is a time to reflect on the year we've had, full of challenge and loss, but full also of new forms of solidarity and inspired sacrifice. It is a time to reflect on the walk we might have with our Lord over the next year and the peace it would bring. Sometimes they strew his way and his sweet praises sing, resounding all the day, hosannas to their king. Then crucify is all their breath, and for his death they thirst and cry. Here, might I say and sing, no story so divine. Never was love, dear king, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend. And that's from Philip Crinks, who is priest in charge of St. Faith's Parish at St. Cross in Winchester.
Next, we have the letters to the editor of the Hampshire Chronicle. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by either telephoning 01962 860 836, that's 01962 860 836, emailing letters at hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters at hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. That's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. The first letter is from Phil Gagg and is titled Grasp the Chance. Sir, Mr. Harborne is completely, absolutely right, Chronicle Letters March the 11th, to say it is in all our interests to cut the volume of traffic on our roads. I think it would be better if he were to concentrate on this theme and abandon his narrow focus on the road outside his front door. Hampshire County Council and Winchester City Council are right to think that closure of Hyde Street and other streets will ultimately make traffic conditions better for everybody in Winchester, including the residents of Worthy Lane. Many people will be drawn to cycle and walk along Hyde Street rather than drive down Worthy Lane, simply because walking and cycling along Hyde Street will be so pleasant. We have seen this in College Street, whose ambience is now so good without through traffic that it is crowded with people taking their daily COVID-19 inner city walk. This would not be happening if it was still a rat run. Unless we grasp this opportunity to support Hampshire County Council's proposals for Hyde Street and other streets, we may never get another chance to reduce traffic in Winchester. Research shows that by reducing road space, e.g. by keeping Hyde Street closed, usually results in less traffic in surrounding areas. People change their habits. Ironically, this means that Mr. Harborne's campaign would leave Worthier Road busier than it would otherwise have been. The simplest way to get car numbers down in Worthy Lane would be to persuade drivers to park in Coach Park and Cattle Market and stay out of the centre. Better signage might be enough. That way everybody would gain and nobody would lose. Recently, too many of us have wanted to reject change too easily. Solar cells near Old Alsford and safe active transport in Winchester must not be allowed to share the fate of turbines near Bullington Cross. If we continue to turn down ideas on reducing carbon, we must come up with more and better alternatives. Otherwise, we will end up doing nothing at all about global heating. Now is almost our last chance. That was from Phil Gagg, St Swithin Street, Winchester.
This letter's from Glyn Llewellyn and is entitled One Sided View. Sir, in his letter, Chronicle, March the 11th, Mr. Harborne concludes by saying that it is in all our interest to cut the volume of traffic, but offers no suggestions as to how this might be achieved beyond his blank no to the idea of closing High Street. His petition offers only a one-sided view on the issue. The two canvassers who solicited my signature last week admitted that they had not looked at the online presentation of Hampshire County Council's proposals and were motivated only by their own interest in having a quick route into the city. The only choice offered to people signing their petition was to say no to the closure, and they could offer no names or address for anyone to submit a different opinion. Indeed, they professed to having no idea who had initiated the petition. I'm sure that there are thousands of different views about this proposal among the residents and users of High Street, and I urge people to read the proposals for themselves and make full use of the opportunity to offer ideas and suggestions. Our elected representatives deserve a much better indication of public opinion than that provided by this petition. And that's from Glyn Llewellyn, Marston Gate, Hyde, Winchester.
Andrew Beadle is the writer of the next letter, which is entitled No Helping Hand. Sir, the introduction of a new charge for green waste collection by Winchester City Council is, not surprising, proving controversial. Depending upon the bin size required, the charge is either £39 or £59 per year for a resident occupying a private residence. This is a very significant proportion of the Winchester Council tax portion for the average payer. Had the council tried to raise this money via the council tax, it would have required a referendum, which almost certainly would have been defeated. So instead, a new charge was introduced 3 months before the local elections in the hope that residents would have forgotten about it by May. The charge itself is bad enough as it will encourage fly tipping and more car driving to a recycling centre, something I thought the council would not want. But what is even worse is that there is no rebate scheme for poorer residents. The Conservative opposition recently proposed such a scheme, but it was defeated by the Lib Dems, who control the council. Even before the pandemic, there were sizeable pockets of poverty in Winchester and the surrounding villages. Why did the Lib Dems, who think they are the only caring party, not introduce help for poorer residents? A rebate scheme for residents receiving council tax credit would have gone some way to helping, and would surely not be difficult to administer. Savings elsewhere can always be found if there is a will to do so. Doubtless we shall soon be receiving the usual deluge of Lib Dem election leaflets, but no amount of literature will disguise the fact that actions speak louder than words. Andrew Beadle, Milesdown Place, St Giles Hill, Winchester.
And this letter's from Martin Todd and is entitled Cutting the Cost. Sir, in September 2019, the County Council informed the City Council that it had decided to slash the funding that district councils received for collecting recycled materials. In Winchester's case, by £500,000 a year. Since that date, all councils in Hampshire that weren't already charging for garden waste collections have decided to move to a charged garden waste service. In Winchester, we would have liked to stay with a free garden waste service, but couldn't afford to. Despite being effectively forced to charge, the City Council has worked hard to get the cost down, enabling people to sign up for only £39 a year. £20 less than the average sign-up cost across the rest of the county, and the second lowest in Hampshire. As a result, we have had a fast sign-up rate, already exceeding the targets set for the programme this year, with the main growing and garden waste season still to come. The council has gone with bins rather than bags because they're safer and easier to handle when full, and the evidence from other places indicates that they lead to higher recycling levels. The council has also offered to downsize black and green bins for free if people are short of space, and to enable people to stay with bags for those houses where it is impractical to use or store a bin. The old bags have also not been taken away. People are still free to use them, to move waste around the garden, and to take waste to the dump as they do currently. Just as we don't expect people to wheel their black bins around the kitchen, there's no expectation that people wheel their brown bin around the garden. For most, the exercise of putting waste in a bag and emptying it into a bin is no different from what they're already doing with all their other waste. Finally, we are working on ways to cut the cost further, particularly for people on low incomes. Although we continue to wish we could afford not to charge, we continue to work to keep the costs as low as possible. And that's from Martin Todd, Lloyd Lindsay Square, Week, Winchester.
Richard Evans writes about other expenses at leisure centre. Sir, users of the new leisure centre at Bar End will have to face other expenses besides the increased prices reported in last week's Hampshire Chronicle. The move to the motorway junction makes the new centre easily accessible from other parts of Hampshire, but it means parking charges or Winchester's notoriously high bus fares for many users who live in walking or pram pushing distance of the centre at River Park. Announcing the prices brings us one step closer to needing a decision on what to do with the old River Park building, and there are two strong reasons for retaining leisure facilities on the site. The first is that, even with the new centre, Winchester will not be oversupplied with facilities, especially readily accessible ones. The second is that the River Park Centre supports and encourages the use of the park. Without something like it, this park will just be an open space waiting for some excuse to be built over. Regrettably, keeping the pool open at River Park is unlikely to be economically viable now, but the dry side facilities should be relatively cheap to run. Personally, I would like to see the sports hall, squash and badminton courts, fitness studios, etc. retained, if possible refurbishing the existing building, but the pool replaced by a venue for small-scale performances and exhibitions with an associated cafe bar. We need to keep the park as a vibrant and sustainable resource for Winchester residents. And that was from Richard Evans, Fordington Avenue, Full Flood, Winchester.
And this letter's from John Seager Green and entitled Wrong Sign. Sir, on St Cross Road opposite the Bell Inn is a sign indicating the direction to St Cross Church. As no such building exists in the vicinity of the sign, one wonders why the council should have expended the money on installing such a foolish, misleading indicator. It is true, however, the sign is pointing towards the Hospital of St Cross, where there is a chapel. That building is not and never has been a church. It is a chapel, a peculiar, in inverted commas, confirmed as such by such eminent money grabbers as the commissioners of Henry VIII and of Oliver Cromwell, who visited, seeking to plunder the wealth of the church, but were obliged to walk away empty-handed because neither the hospital nor the chapel were of the church. The chapel is used by the local parish. Its church fell into disrepair and was demolished several hundred years ago, and through the good grace of the master and nowadays the hospital trustees, the parish is allowed to use the chapel on certain occasions, but that does not alter the designation of the building from chapel to church. While there are moves afoot elsewhere to seek to change or rewrite history, one is surprised that the local council should seek to do so with one of the city's most ancient, unchanged and beautiful historic places. And that's from John Seager Green, St Cross Road, St Cross.
Tom Watson writes about canvassing views. Sir, on Friday evening at 5 p.m, my doorbell rang. I opened the door and was greeted by the masked leader of Winchester City Council, who was canvassing for her political party. I don't know the current legal position about door knocking for elections, and I don't want to make a party political point, but surely it is irresponsible for political organisations to be going door to door at present. I am not opposed to political canvassing, but can all parties and candidates wait until the next stage of the lockdown is eased on April the 12th? It would be much safer for everyone and democracy won't have suffered. Tom Watson, Branksome Close, Winchester.
And this letter is from Justin Kay and is called Cathedral Plea. Sir, now that the cathedral authorities have decided to trust us with sitting on their benches again, perhaps they could see a way to letting us use the main building again for the purpose it was built. At present, all the cathedral pews have been removed and access to corridors and side chapels roped off. Even the one previously specifically designated for quiet prayer. The resulting cavernous, almost seatless empty space remaining would be quite perfect for playing basketball, but is hardly conducive for thought and reflection. Activity is made even harder by the noisy building work currently going on. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, insists that the Church of England still has a place in our lives. Making its places of worship more welcoming at a time of great national trauma would be a great way to show this. And this is from Justin Kay, Chapel Lane, Otterbourne.
Veronica Bliss writes about golf walks. Sir, there are three golf courses around Winchester, and I would like to thank the other two, not just Royal Winchester, as in last week's paper, South Winchester and Hockley, for allowing us to walk on the courses and enjoy somewhere different to walk locally. While many footpaths become almost impassable during the winter, it is a real pleasure to enjoy the golf courses. That's from Veronica Bliss, Cleese Way, Compton.
And this letter is from E.J. Smith, entitled Bonfire Menace. Sir, with the increase of fly tipping following restrictions at recycling depots, we now have the start of garden bonfires in the daytime, presumably because residents are reluctant to invest in a bin. It was the case years ago that garden bonfires were not allowed before 6 p.m. There was a local bylaw that enforced that restriction. In order to nip this practice in the bud, is it not time for the council to reintroduce a local bylaw forbidding the lighting of daytime garden bonfires? Given the need to reduce pollution, this seems a more than sensible step that might even prevent a breach of the peace when washing is on the line. So come on, WCC. And this is from E.J. Smith, Tegdown Meads, Winchester.
Teacher Jones writes about Boomtown plight. Sir, the promoters of Boomtown have recently filed with the South Down National Park Authority their 1,300 pages of application for a permanent festival site at Matterley Farm. I thought I would share a short extract with your readers explaining why they need lots of strobe and searchlights in our dark countryside. Quote, illuminations can be deployed and have the potential to engender the reenactment of modern life through experiencing the sensation of being disrupted or out of one's default sensory, psychic, intellectual disposition, compounds the conversion of local settings to another kind of space and time, abstraction from the normal quondian, with distortion, surprise, memory, and the unfathomable, the environment becomes reimagined. End of quote. Perhaps festival goers would like to save money and come to the Hampshire Chalk Downs to listen to a skylark or to look at the moon in a dark sky. That also blows your mind. Oops, they won't be able to do that at Mattingley because many of the skylarks have gone. Several years of festivals have seen them off. And the moon won't be visible because of the spotlights. There is still time to object. And that was from Teacher Jones, Lane End, Oslebury.
And this letter is from Tina Jerrick and entitled Role of the Press. Sir, in the Financial Times, there was an editorial with the headline, Democracy Promotion Must Begin at Home. It was referring to the US, but in principle it could be referring more widely, including us here in Hampshire. It is for this reason I would argue that the Hampshire Chronicle could provide a valuable and valued non-partisan platform to aid in the sharing of information relating to the forthcoming three local elections due on May the 6th. A weekly column shared between the various parties over different weeks could offer even coverage and improve on the level of understanding and transparency between the local councils and the people they serve. Residents are likely to feel more engaged if they knew more about the local authority structures and the remit and limitations of those structures. Do we all know, for example, the different responsibilities of Hampshire County Council as opposed to those of Winchester City Council? The upheaval caused by the pandemic could be an opportunity for local government to re-engage with the local population. As an ordinary citizen, it does seem to me that the local independent press has a crucial role to play in this. And this is from Tina Jerrick, Elm Road, Full Flood, Winchester.
That concludes the letters for this week. Next is the editorial comment from the Hampshire Chronicle. If careful, 20 mph limits could work. As our front page reveals, there is a campaign for a 20 mph speed limits to be enforced on the majority of Winchester's roads. No doubt there will be strong arguments on both sides of the coin, but if planners are careful, this could be revolutionary for Winchester. So long as there is a rigorous study and consultation process before anything is put in place, complaints could be kept at bay while keeping safety as the top priority. For example, limiting the stretch of Alsford Road leading to the motorway would be a waste. The route is straight, meaning drivers can see far in advance and pedestrians can easily tell when to cross. But it is a different story in Worthy Road. There are dozens of side roads, bus stops and houses on both sides, not to mention the children crossing to get to school. In peak hours, drivers rarely find themselves topping 20 mph in the city centre anyway. The one-way system and most side roads already have the restrictions in place. And now we have a letter from Westminster.
Yes, letter from Westminster. By the time many of you read this, Parliament will have voted to renew parts of the Coronavirus Act for a further 6 months and to endorse in law the government's roadmap out of lockdown. My opinion has been well reported by this newspaper, but for the avoidance of doubt, unless anyone seeks to play games with my words, we must be cautious, we must be careful, and we absolutely must follow the data, not the dates. I welcomed the roadmap in the House of Commons when it was published last month, and I welcome it still. I do, however, remain of the view the vaccine must give us immunity from COVID while at the same time giving us permanent immunity from COVID-related lockdowns and restrictions. Otherwise, what is the point? A view I predict you will increasingly hear. As I said at Prime Minister's Questions last week, the NHS has done a brilliant job vaccinating the vulnerable, and we have had one of the fastest rollouts in the world. The roadmap is a return to freedom and a reclaiming of our lives, but it is too slow, in my opinion, and doesn't base itself on the data or demonstrate a belief in vaccines. You think that harsh? Well, the UK's four chief medical officers say the first dose brings substantial protection, and the JCVI have said that the first dose offers between 70 and 90% efficiency, excuse me. A triumph for UK scientists. A triumph some other parts of the world would do well to thank the UK for and give credit where it is due. But let's part that. By mid-April, all groups 1 to 9 on the JCVI list, phase 1 of the programme, will have been vaccinated. These groups represent 99% of COVID deaths and more than 80% of hospitalisations. So, by the beginning of May, when we've allowed immunity to build up in those most at risk, the justification for any legislative restrictions becomes harder to make. Put simply, we shouldn't be keeping parts of our country in lockdown, with all the substantial harm it brings, a moment longer than is necessary. There is nothing let it rip or irresponsible about this view. Multiple government ministers and scientists have made crystal clear that the vaccine we have available are effective in preventing hospitalizations and deaths, including those infected with the new variants. This is vitally important since COVID is highly likely, in the words of the chief scientific advisor, to become an endemic disease just like flu. The test of a vaccine is not its ability to eradicate disease, but to protect those who have received it against severe illness. Remember, only one human disease in history has been eliminated by a vaccine, and that is smallpox. New variants of the virus that do not currently exist are possible, but to totally eliminate this threat, we would have to totally eliminate COVID everywhere in the world. If this is the aim of some, it is important they're honest about what guarding against the threat of new variants in such a way would entail. Indeed, if you can't vaccinate your way out of COVID, what is the exit strategy? It is hard to see how anything other than permanent cycle of lockdowns and restrictions then becomes reality.
There are no special announcements this week, but please remember that summertime begins on Saturday night, Sunday morning, and the clocks go forward by 1 hour. So as from Sunday, that's the 28th of March, sunrise that day will be at 10 to 7 in the morning and sunset will be at 7:30 in the evening. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please telephone the contact number which is on the key fob attached to the memory stick. We now move on to items of general news interest. New leisure centre is near to completion, says City Council. The new state-of-the-art sport and leisure park in Winchester is near to completion, the City Council has announced. It is expected that the building contractors, Wilmot Dixon, will hand over the building in the first week of May so that it can be made ready to open to the public by the end of May. The all-new leisure park facilities will include a 30-metre swimming pool and training pool, multi-use sports hall, 200-station gym, student studios, fun climbing, squash courts, a hydrotherapy suite, and access for those with disabilities. The Crush Cafe near to the entrance will offer healthy refreshments which can be enjoyed on the sun terrace. Councillor Malcolm Prince said, "We're really excited about the new centre opening to the public in late May. It has been a fantastic achievement by the contractors Wilmot Dixon to progress a construction of this size during such a challenging year. They have kept their workers safe on site throughout and will still manage to complete the centre by our original target date of a spring opening. The centre will provide residents and visitors with incredible sport and leisure facilities and will help bring our communities together to be healthy and active. We look forward to a celebration event later in the year when government guidelines allow. The new centre will be offering a range of memberships, a special early bird offer, and the ability to book activities in advance. The council has detailed plans for reopening outdoor and indoor leisure facilities at district-wide centres in line with the government plan for easing restrictions starting on Monday, March the 29th. The artificial pitches at Meadowside Leisure Centre will also open on March 29th and the outdoor tennis courts at River Park Leisure Centre on Thursday, April the 1st. The River Park tennis courts will be available free of charge until Saturday, May the 1st, when temporary toilets will then be provided and charges will start again. Depending on the dates confirmed by the government, the council is also planning to reopen the indoor leisure facilities at Meadowside Leisure Centre from Monday the 12th of April.
Disappointing prices at centre. Prices at the new leisure centre have been branded disappointing by a local expert. Emma Back of Winchester Sport, Art and Leisure Trust hopes the City Council will review the fees, which were revealed at a recent Cabinet meeting. She said that the facilities in Bar End need to be accessible to everyone, but are currently not affordable. There's no doubt the photos of the building's interior, which were shared at the Winchester Sport and Leisure Park Open Forum on Tuesday, look amazing, said Ms. Back. We are sure lots of local people will enjoy using the centre when it opens, but doing so must be affordable. It was therefore disappointing to see the prices proposed recently at Cabinet and again at the Open Forum, as they were higher than expected. All the way through the business planning process for the new centre, Winchester City Council talked about a maximum 15% uplift in pricing, although the baseline was never stated. Evidently, a more significant uplift was agreed with everyone active during their tender in 2018-19, but the contract isn't public, so we're only starting to see its impact now. And still, 2 years after the contract was signed in March 2019, the Joint Advisory Board that will oversee contract implementation and issues such as pricing hasn't been set up. Hopefully that will be resolved soon and greater scrutiny will occur so the centre can be made accessible to all. As previously reported, the facilities in Bar End will be more expensive than those at River Park. Junior and disabled people will now pay £3 to swim and a 33% and a 40% increase respectively. But everyone active, who will take on the running of the Winchester Sport and Leisure Park, believe the pricing reflects the brilliant standard. A spokesman said, "In partnership with Winchester City Council, we carried out an extensive market review ahead of the opening of the brand new Winchester Sport and Leisure Park, WSLP. The result of this review have informed our decision to align and tier our pricing structure to ensure a fair approach to all. We are confident that the pricing reflects the brilliant standard of facilities that will be available. From the new centre's opening in May 2021, members and customers will have access to a variety of the centre's new amenities. The WSLP will offer the community an increased gym space with 20 station fitness suites, 3 group exercise studios, and a 50-metre, 8-lane swimming pool, a confidence water area, and large teaching pool area."
Make sure you register to vote. Hampshire residents are being urged to make sure they are registered to vote. On May the 6th, the area representatives for the County Council will be selected at the local elections. This year, voters will also elect the Police and Crime Commissioner in Hampshire, District and Borough Councillors in Winchester, as well as some parish and town councillors. County Returning Officer and Hampshire County Council Chief Executive John Coughlan said, "The County Council elections are an opportunity to make your voice heard and have a say on the issues that directly affect day-to-day life in Hampshire, from schools and education to roads, social care for vulnerable children and adults, as well as access to the countryside and libraries. However, if you are not registered by the 19th of April, you won't be able to vote. If you were registered to vote in the last elections and your details have not changed, you don't need to take any action. The deadline to register is midnight on April the 19th.
Pigsty proves popular across the nation. A converted pigsty in Winchester has topped the list of most wish list homes by the British public for 2021. An Airbnb has announced its most frequently saved properties on the site, and for the first time, they're all located in the UK. The pigsty at Pitt has cleaned up, stealing the top spot from the more exotic Greek cave in 2020 and the far-flung Balian treehouse in 2019. Building work started late 2018 on Winchester's first luxury bolt hole in the woods. Designed and handmade by Boone, this rural hideaway boasts a king-size bed, luxury kitchenette, freestanding roll-top bath, and a stunning private rural views to wake up to. The pigsty is owned and run by Naomi and Sam Burge, whose Vale Farm in Pitt, where the pigsty is situated, has been in their family for generations and fondly named after the wooden structure domed shape. Naomi, Airbnb superhost, said, "I list the pigsty with my husband Sam, who works on the pig farm that has been in our family for generations. We started hosting an Airbnb in late 2019, and we've honestly never looked back, especially during this past year when places like ours have been in such high demand. We've created Winchester's first luxury woodland hideaway and have had so many great reviews already. The most rewarding part of hosting an Airbnb, when restrictions allow, of course, is meeting and welcoming new guests to our beautiful farm and being able to earn extra money through sharing our space. After a tumultuous year, it appears that, according to the company, our approach to travel has certainly changed from previous years. During last summer, hosts in the UK earned more than £225 million, with the average host pocketing nearly £1,000. An Airbnb spokesperson said, "With so many of us set to staycation in the UK this year, there's more opportunity than ever before for Brits to capitalise on demand and turn their homes into income engines."
Saving the High Street. Business owners, residents and councillors have shared their ideas to save Winchester High Street before it is too late. More than 60 people attended a virtual open debate last Thursday focusing on the challenges facing the city centre and other shopping areas. Hosted by South East Business Boost, the discussion saw views put forward on how not only Winchester City Council but retailers could improve the High Street after a challenging year in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic. Andrew Gostelow, Senior Lead for Economy and Tourism at the City Council, said that the district shopping areas have consistently outperformed others nationally, but this has been hampered by COVID. He told the debate, "Now is the time. It is very clear to act and look at local solutions." Stephen Ide said that the market is important to the city centre as it brought the footfall. He continued, "I think most of the people I speak to look at the downfall of Debenhams and the horror of what that means to that lovely part of Winchester High Street." He suggested that the building could be used as an indoor market. Tony Cross suggested that the city could offer incentives to those who are most likely to spend money in the city by travelling in bus and public transport. He added, "Having good access to public transport is critical." Full Flood resident Julian Knott said that wayfinding and signage is important to help direct visitors to particular shops or cultural spots. Angus Kirk of Steady Course Limited, which organises foreign language courses in the city, said, "I would say that one of the major problems is the presentation of Winchester and the overall condition of Winchester." He explained that the pavements need working on and called the anti-terrorism barriers on the High Street horrendous. The discussion also heard from Winchester's Business Improvement District's Chief Executive Paul Spencer, who said that the vacancy rate in the city centre was at 6.9% at the start of 2020, but this has now increased to about 11.2%. He continued, "I think we are seeing more of a mixture of online and offline, and the physical space is important. People want to see products and try things."
Cost of Greta statue revealed by university. Winchester University paid more than £23,700 for its statue of Greta Thunberg. Christine Charlesworth is the person behind this sculpture of the Swedish activist, who propelled into the national media when she began the school climate strikes in 2018. After a year of work, it is ready to be unveiled on campus on March the 30th. A spokesman, who has confirmed that the university paid £23,760, the statue of Greta Thunberg was commissioned in 2019 and funded by the university as part of the West Down Centre development, they said. The statue cost £23,760 within the overall £50 million budget for the West Down Centre. Chronicle readers heavily criticised the statue when asked for their opinions. Mark Robinson said, To be fair, Greta probably is inspirational to many of the current generation of students. And given that it's at the university, I don't think there's a particular reason for strong Winchester connection. Usually statues are erected to reflect a long-lasting legacy, and that will be the test with this one. Excuse me. And Michelle Coombs wrote, I think the sculpture itself is very good, but Greta has no connection with Winchester, or am I wrong? Simon Dixon added, what a total waste of money. This notion was repeated by another reader, Jason Newman, along with Brian Cooper, who responded saying, total waste of money. I wonder whose bright idea that was. As the University for Sustainability and Social Justice, we share Greta's passion and wholeheartedly agree with the urgency of her message, said Joy Carter, Vice-Chancellor. The statue is a symbol of our commitment to take transformative action to combat the climate emergency. This is a statement of action to stand with Greta and take inspiration from the life-saving message she has brought to us and urgently make a difference in the world. We want this landmark statue to be a symbol of our commitment to make a difference, and we invite all those who engage with it to do the same.
Rapid rollout for electric vehicle points. The future of travel is being fast-tracked for one Winchester community. Residential streets in Hyde will boast a total of 22 electric vehicle, that's EV, charging points by the end of March. The area has been selected by Hampshire County Council for its off-street EV charging pilot trial, which will encourage people to ditch their petrol and diesel cars. Ben Riley of the Council's Future Mobility team said, one of the biggest challenges that people driving electric vehicles have is there is not enough off-street parking. We're conducting two pilot schemes, one in Winchester and the other in Eastleigh, to prepare for the banning of petrol and diesel cars. The charging spaces in Hyde will not be designated solely to EV users, so residents will not have to worry about losing out on much-needed parking. The initial white boxes have already been installed in Egbert Road, Nuns Road, Arthur Road, Hyde Abbey Road and Park Avenue. These will soon be adjusted, ready for use. Most of the chargers will be attached to street lighting columns, which is less costly and more efficient for the County Council. The location was selected based on a socio-economic study conducted about a year ago, added Mr. Riley. It identified that the SO22 was the most likely area in Winchester with residents who own an electric vehicle. Those interested in using a charging point other than the three in Park Avenue will pay via an app where a subscription can be set up. In Park Avenue, the points will take contactless payments but will be more expensive to use. City Councillor Paula Ferguson, who represents St Bartholomew Ward containing Hyde, said, I understand the trial is an 18-month period. Will this give people enough time to be influenced to change their cars? She pointed out that most people change their motors on a cycle and may not be in a position to do so while the chargers are in place. But Mr. Riley said that the scheme would last for a minimum of 3 years and could potentially last for about 7 or 10 at a push. Councillor Dominic Hiscock, who already also represents St Bartholomew, said, this has genuinely been well received. I have had several comments from people saying now is the time to buy an electric car, which of course is the purpose of the scheme.
Bus running day cancelled again. Yet another staple event in Winchester's calendar has been cancelled. The trustees of Friends of King Alfred Buses, FOKAB, will no longer hold the vintage running day in May for the second year running. The annual event usually sees 20 vehicles from the 1950s, 60s and 1970s providing free services through the city and surrounding villages. But after studying the government's roadmap, FOKAB believes the running day is no longer practical. Secretary and trustee David Morgan said, having looked very carefully at the implications of the government's current roadmap out of lockdown, the trustees of Friends of King Alfred Buses most reluctantly reached the conclusion that to hold the planned running day in Winchester in early May is no longer practical or appropriate. The vintage buses are still expected to play a part at Winchester Heritage Open Days in September. It is now hoped to expand this involvement to a two-day event with a vehicle display on Saturday, September the 11th, and a running day with free vintage bus services on Sunday, September the 12th, added Mr. Morgan. More details will be published, nearer the time.
Major changes set for City Hub. Hampshire's busiest library is set for a major shake-up as plans have been unveiled. Hampshire Cultural Trust could take over the running of the Winchester Discovery Centre. It comes as county bosses have agreed to develop detailed plans for a new partnership. The move would see the trust manage the building, operate the cafe and run the cultural programme, while the freehold would remain with Hampshire County Council, which would continue to run the library at the site. According to the plans, the cafe and bar would be revamped to increase capacity and ensure the evening could be used for evening events. The overall opening hours of the building would also increase to about 61 hours a week. There would also be a retail area and further refurbishment works to improve the children's library and existing toilets. A detailed business case is now being developed before a final decision is taken. It is not yet known whether the move would result in job losses. According to the official documents, the overall number of staff required will remain broadly the same under the proposed partnership. However, the council said that over time it is expected that the number of staff employed by the council will reduce and the number of staff employed by the Hampshire Cultural Trust will increase. When asked to clarify whether there would be job losses, the council said, until a more thorough assessment has been undertaken, we cannot confirm any further details. We continue to keep Discovery Centre staff informed at every stage of the way as these plans develop. Councillor Edward Heron, Executive Member for Recreation, Heritage, Countryside and Rural Affairs, said, we want to be open and transparent about this exciting new cultural vision, knowing that the site is a much-loved site and the home of our busiest library. The concept is focused on how we can build a stronger future for the centre as a major hub for culture, while continuing to be a safe and welcoming community space. The aim is to boost the city's reputation in this important sector and provide economic opportunities. Both organisations will now progress to the next stage and consider in detail how a closer partnership would evolve. The news comes as the County Council revealed that Winchester Discovery Centre currently costs £1.03 million a year to run and generates an income of approximately £200,000 per year. The authority said that the partnership would provide the opportunity to develop joint funding applications, which would help secure the long-term financial viability of the venture. Hampshire Cultural Trust Chief Executive Paul Sapwell said, we're looking forward to working closely with Hampshire County Council to develop our business case, which will realise our joint vision of securing a financially resilient and sustainable future for Winchester Discovery Centre. The Trust has been operating the gallery and city space within the centre since 2014. A detailed business case is expected to be concluded by the early summer. The Grade 2 listed building was originally opened in 1838, originally serving as the city's corn exchange. It has also been a roller skating rink, theatre and dance hall before being converted to a public library in 1936.
Major improvements to footpaths given go-ahead. Improvements to footpaths and cycle routes between Worthy Down and South Wanston have been given the green light. Hampshire County Council has agreed to the £319,000 scheme, which will link existing footpaths and improve pedestrian access to South Wanston Primary School. County Councillor for the Winchester Downlands Division, Jan Warwick, is really pleased with the approval, which was given after several months of planning. Upgrading works for the new cycle route will take place over the next few weeks, she said. There are some nice touches planned, such as the wildflower planting and new pond with public accessible bird hide too. More work will be needed by Hampshire Highways as the route reaches the Andover Road. They will create an interim cycle path into Winchester. This will eventually join the cycle route via Kings Barton. In addition, the countryside team will be carrying out some improvement work on the South Wanston Primary School Park and Stride route, and this should help alleviate parking on Downs Road in South Wanston. Councillor Edward Heron, Executive Member for Recreation, Heritage, Countryside and Rural Affairs, said, "I'm delighted to approve this funding for the delivery of improved walking and cycle routes between Worthy Down and South Wanston. It includes plans for a park and stride site that will make it easier for the parents, pupils and staff of South Wanston School to walk to school safely, as well as the aim to create new bridleway alongside habitats for wildflowers and wildlife. This is a welcome package of improvements that will link new housing developments more effectively with existing communities. The improvements will be funded through Section 106 contributions from the Worthy Down Development and will include upgrades to existing footpaths to provide better off-road walking and cycling routes, the provision of a park and stride route from the pavilion car park to the school, the creation of a new section of designated bridleway, and the works are expected to be completed by late November.
Last-minute heartbreak for Hannah on The Voice. It was a dose of heartbreak for Hannah Williams. Winchester's very own competitor fell short at the last hurdle of The Voice UK. Her two exceptional performances in the final were not enough to win over the majority of public voters. The first was a rendition of Little Runaway by Celeste. She then sang To Love Somebody, originally by the Bee Gees, alongside her team captain Sir Tom Jones, who she has worked with since the audition round. Sir Tom said, "I think Hannah deserves to win The Voice 2021, and I hope that I've done enough to help her do just that. That was fantastic. It was tremendous. I could not ask for you to do any better than you did right there. She is a beautiful singer." Sir Tom also said that he was nervous to join Hannah in the duet due to the power and warmth in her voice. Ollie Moores revealed that he has always had confidence in the 38-year-old. "Incredible. I predicted this in your blind audition. I knew you'd make it through to the final." But Hannah was ejected before the ultimate head-to-head, which saw Scotsman Craig Eddy go on to win the competition. "I've had the most incredible time," she said. "I really have. The whole experience has been absolutely glorious, and we have won already." Hannah works as a vocal coach and consultant at Winchester University. Neil Valentine, creative director at the University Music Centre, said, "We are so proud of Hannah. She is an inspiration both as a musician and as a person. Her journey on The Voice UK showed her as the lovely, hard-working, honest and gracious person we all know, and we can't wait to keep supporting her throughout the adventures that await her.
Pie Shop to be UK's only one-table eatery. Winchester's popular Pie Shop is set to become the UK's only one-table restaurant. The Parchment Street business will swing open its doors in a couple of weeks. Co-owner Rob Litchfield has already been inundated with bookings for the solitary table. With just two seats available per slot, the restaurant is fully booked for the week beginning April the 12th, when eateries and pubs are allowed to serve customers outside again as lockdown continues to ease. Mr. Litchfield said he can only fit one table outside the restaurant, which serves 20 different pies, because of the narrow pavement in Parchment Street. Speaking to The Mirror, he said, "We have space outside the shop door for one table. We had a play around. We had a play around with it, and we're not blocking access or causing any trouble. It's a bit of a novelty. We started accepting bookings yesterday morning and are now fully booked for the first week. Everyone is desperate to get out and about." He added that we would like more tables, but physically cannot fit any more outside. Mr. Litchfield, 41, has called the seating arrangement the table. He hopes it will bring in around £100 a night. Pie Caramba also has establishments in Southampton and Brighton, as well as Winchester.
Well, on that very positive note, I think we end our contributions for this week. So maybe the end of lockdown is certainly something we're all looking forward to. So that concludes our extracts for the week. Our thanks to our editors, Sue Frayne, Anne Brew and Jane Thomas, and to our various technical teams. Thanks to our reader, Tony Bergstrom.
Goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you're able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope.